The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Jesus' parents brought him up from Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon comes into the temple. The Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And now, Simeon is holding that infant Messiah in his arms. God's promise has been fulfilled. And so Simeon prays, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, because Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah, some people assume that what Simeon is saying is, when he says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace," some assume that that word "dismissing" refers to his imminent death. And yet, whereas our gospel reading tells us that Anna is of a great age, 84, it tells us nothing of Simeon's age. Simeon could have been quite young. We don't know. The Greek word which is translated "dismissing" means to set free, release, let go, to loose from. Bible scholar Joseph Fitzmyer writes, "Simeon casts himself in the role of a servant watchman posted to wait for the arrival of the Messiah." What Simeon is really saying in today's gospel, I believe, is that God is now dismissing him from his divinely appointed duty as a watchman, discharging him from his role as a sentinel, keeping watch for the coming Messiah. But just because his watchman role is over doesn't mean Simeon's life is over. God may have a wonderful new calling, a new vocation for Simeon, a new mission for his life. My friends, when a certain period of our life comes to an end, be it an end of a career or a family situation or a relationship, the end of good health or whatever, when a certain period of our life comes to an end, there can be a tendency to think that because things will never be the same, our future will necessarily be less meaningful, important, or fulfilling. We may even think that our life, for all practical purposes, is over. This tendency especially holds true, I think, when we have strongly identified with the role we have been playing in that period of our life that is coming to an end. Strongly identified with our vocation, our group, a mindset, a relationship, or perhaps our mental or physical prowess. Franciscan Friar Richard Rohr tells about the situation in Japan after World War II ended. Young Japanese men had been drafted into their nation's army to fight that war. They were indoctrinated into the identity of being a loyal soldier. After the war was over, however, and the young Japanese men returned home, many of those who were returning found themselves mentally and emotionally lost, adrift. The only self-identity that they had had as an adult was that of a loyal soldier. And they had played that role very, very well. But who were they now that they were no longer loyal soldiers fighting a world war? What was their identity, their purpose in life now? How could they ever re-enter normal Japanese society? Some communities devised a powerful and effective answer. They created a communal ritual whereby a soldier was publicly thanked and effusively praised for his service to his community and nation as a soldier. After this profuse thanksgiving, praise, and recognition, an elder from the community would stand and announce with great authority something to this effect: "The war is now over. Your grateful community now needs you to let go of your identity as a loyal soldier and serve us in a new way." Richard Rohr remarks, "This kind of closure is much needed for most of us at the end of all major transitions in life." Father Rohr calls such rituals of closure discharging your loyal soldier. During times of major transition in either our individual or communal lives, the role we have previously played up until that point, the focus that has absorbed us for years, perhaps decades, becomes no longer needed or appropriate going forward. We realize that the circumstances of our personal, societal, or communal lives have changed. And the way we have been living our life, or the way we have been looking at the world, no longer makes sense, no longer is working, no longer is appropriate or relevant. Thus, the role we have been playing, and even perhaps our long-standing sense of self-identity or group identity, must change accordingly. We must discharge our loyal soldier who has been faithful to us in the past in order that the future new life to which God is calling us as individuals, as a society, or as a church may come into being and flourish as God wills it. Now, if this were the only lesson we learned from today's gospel reading, it would suffice. For discharging our loyal soldier is so often exactly what we need to do when moving through times of change and transition. And certainly our lives and the Christian church around the world are moving through a time of change and transition. But Simeon's request to be discharged from his role as a watchman for the Messiah has another lesson to teach us. In W.H. Auden's poem, For the Time Being, a Christmas Oratorio, Auden imagines Simeon meditating on the Christ child's visitation to earth. In the poem, Simeon says, "And because of Christ's visitation, we may no longer desire God as if he were lacking. Our redemption is no longer a question of pursuit, but of surrender to him who is always and everywhere present. Therefore, at every moment we pray that, following him, we may be dismissed from our anxiety into his peace." Discharged from our anxiety into his peace. Bible scholar John Shea comments, "The birth of Christ, his visitation, changes the agenda of humans from pursuing a missing God to surrendering to an always and everywhere present God. This is a landmark shift, and it changes the burden of responsibility. When God was missing, we could always take umbrage and ask questions like, where is God in this anyway? With its implied answer of nowhere. When God was missing, God could always be blamed. When we are missing, when we are not present, consciously or spiritually, God cannot be a scapegoat." Unquote. My friends, many of us, myself included, were taught from an early age that being a loyal Christian soldier meant seeking God out there or praying to God up there. But it is time to discharge that loyal soldier, that worldview that dominated the Christian church in the West for over a millennium and continues to dominate much of the church today. For if, as Auden's Simeon says, our redemption is no longer a question of pursuit, but of surrender to him who is always and everywhere present, then our task is to be always and everywhere present and open to this God who is always and everywhere present to us. While this may sound easy, it can be difficult in practice. For our hearts, our minds, and our attention seem always to be in 1,000 different places. C.S. Lewis wrote, "It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, and so on all day long. Standing back from all your natural fussings and frettings, coming in out of the wind. Unquote. And my friend C.S. Lewis wrote that in the early 1940s, before television, texting, email, social media, cell phones, and surfing the web were constantly stealing our attention. As Auden's poem says, God is always and everywhere present, always desiring to pour his love, his grace, his life into us and through us. But our minds and hearts and wills are often not open to that divine flow, for they are being channeled in other directions, drawn away from that divine flow by 1,000 preoccupations and distractions. Simeon's attention had been focused upon looking forward to the consolation of Israel, to the promised Messiah. That was the purpose to which God had called him, to serve as a watchman for the Messiah. But after Simeon had held the baby Jesus in his arms, his role as a watchman was no longer needed. The Messiah was no longer out there, up there, or in the future. The Messiah was, and always would be, everywhere present, amongst, and within us. And so, my friends, I think this story of Simeon is asking us to do two things. First, to reassess the current direction and purpose of our life. And today, New Year's Eve, is a wonderful day to do that. Simeon's story asks us, is what you have been focusing your life on still appropriate? Is the way you have been living your life or the way you have been looking at the world no longer working? Does it no longer seem true, necessary, relevant, or fulfilling? Is it God's calling on your life now? Or is it time to discharge the loyal soldier in you who has served you well in the past, but whose time has come and gone? And these same questions can be asked of our common life together as a church. The second thing I think the story of Simeon is asking us is, do you recognize that God is present with you here and now? Or are you still looking for God out there or up there? Our life's distractions, anxieties, fixed mindsets, or partisan mentalities keeping you from seeing God present here and everywhere, keeping you from surrendering to the flow of God's life, love, and grace. Because the Messiah had arrived, Simeon's purpose in life had to change. And what about your life and mine? Is it time for us to discharge our loyal soldier? Is it time for us to stop looking for God out there or up there and open our hearts and minds to the presence of the Messiah, Emmanuel, who is now among us, within us, and flowing through us?